Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down and speak to American band 68, frontman Josh Scoggin. And it's lovely. Josh is a lovely human being, and we talk about some wonderful, wonderful records today. So you're in for a treat. Before we get on with the conversation with Josh, just a few thank yous. A thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. Obviously, Josh is based in the States, and so you know these podcasts are recorded remotely. So 76 does his best to ensure that these remote recordings sound as close to a studio type podcast that I guess we was all used to up until 2020. So thanks to 76 for that. Also a thank you to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network, which I'm very proud to be part of, and to be shoulder to shoulder with such incredible podcasts as the Distraction Pieces podcast, Films to Be Buried With, Say Why to Drugs. There's so many over there, and they're all incredible and run by the good egg that is Scroobius Pip. So thanks to those. Also, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you finish listening to this chat with Josh, go and get involved in the back catalogue, because there's 250 or so episodes that you can listen to for free. You can hear me talking to Foo Fighters, you can hear me talking to Tommy Lee and Motley Crue, Fatboy Slim, Butch Vig. The list goes on. Go and have a rummage, because you'll see so many incredible artists that I've been lucky enough to sit down and talk records with. Yeah, and also if you'd like to support the podcast, you can do that really easily by just giving us a like, love, share, retweet on the socials. Give us a follow. Subscribe to the podcast. That all helps. If you want to head over to iTunes and give us a review, that's really, really helpful. And if you'd like to support us in a different way, you can head over to Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/ Off the Beaten Track, and get access to 200 or so shows that have never been released to the masses over there. And I put up radio shows each week over there and video episodes, and you can get access to all of that from as little as $1 a month. So and that all helps to keep this podcast going. So so thank you very much for supporting the podcast, for being here today and listening. You can find out about everything you need to know about the podcast at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. That's your one-stop shop. Take a breath. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track Podcast with Josh Scoggin of 68.
It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Josh, how you doing today?
Doing real good.
Nice. Where are you, man?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, in my house.
Nice, nice. I mean, Atlanta, Georgia, that's home of a hell of a lot of good bands, right? Am I right in saying that REM from there?
Yeah, I think they're from just a city north, Athens. But yeah, they're in Georgia all the same. And
B-52s as well, am I right? I think that, or maybe they're Athens as well, actually.
Yeah. I think so. I wouldn't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure they're from here, and a ton of hip hop.
Wonderful.
We're known for our hip hop stuff.
Well, Josh, before we start talking about the songs on your playlist, I just want to ask you how you have found the last year as both Josh human being and Josh the creative.
I think I found it a lot like a lot of people, you know. It was a lot of confusing times, and you'll have to forgive my phone. But, you know, I had to just keep from twiddling my thumbs, both mentally and even physically. It's not very healthy for me to just sit still. And so when I came to the realization, you know, one tour would kind of get canceled or at least pushed back, and then another tour. And then eventually you come to the realization, like, we're not touring in 2020. That's not happening. Yeah. So once you kind of sit down and go, okay, that's the reality, then, you know, it was still very unpleasant, but it was at least at that moment where I could go, okay, well, what do I do next? You know, what do I do for now? Because I would actually lose my mind if I, you know, had to sit still. So, so I dove into creating some music videos for this album that, that just released today. And so that kept me busy, and learning a couple of new programs on how to do video stuff, and, you know, just trying to stay busy mentally and physically. So.
And so the record's out today. We should say for listeners that we're recording this on the 26th of March. How have you found the process for this, you know, different from any other music you've released, insofar as kind of, you know, doing the PR campaigns? Obviously, normally you'd be out gigging hard and stuff like that to support records and that. So how have you found it differently this time?
Yeah, well, it's funny because, as you say, normally when an album comes out, you're on tour. That's the dream anyway, to be on tour so you can, you know, sell records and play in front of people. So when, you know, our publicist hits us up and goes, hey, we have this interview, that interview, whatever, you always have a good excuse if you know, like, oh, I'm driving, or I'm, you know, I can't, I'm sound checking, whatever. Now I have no excuses. What am I going to say? Oh, I'm planning on, you know, sitting on my couch at that moment. But other than that, I mean, it's just a different feel. I mean, normally me and you would be having this conversation in some, hopefully, coffee shop, if not backstage, and there's loudness all around, and I'm trying to go, what are you saying? You know, or have headphones on. And, there's perks, and there's pros and cons to everything, I guess, depends on your perspective. But, you know, as far as, all the interview parts of it, it's actually a lot more peaceful right now because I don't have any distractions to deal with. And I don't have I don't have to keep looking at my clock to go, I got a sound check, or I got to, you know, whatever. So, that's the biggest difference, for sure.
Okay. Well, let's talk records. And for track one, I'm going to ask you, for the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
It's hard. I can't say it's the greatest ever, but it's definitely the first one that popped in my head. And I am not even going to try. I'm looking it up right now so I can give it its due. I'm not even going to try to pronounce all the Mars Volta stuff, but it's the Mars Volta album. Because when I saw the words, greatest intro, you know, the track number one is the intro, and then or at least it felt like that to me. And then track two just kicks into a song, and oh man, what an impact. I remember, obviously being devastated by at the drive-in breaking up originally, when this first album came out, I was just ecstatic and I bought it. And, you know, so I got to hear it the way it was meant to be heard as an intro, and obviously from track one all the way to the end. And I just remember when it hit so hard, and I was just like, I'm in. You know, I miss at the drive-in, but I'm in. This is great stuff. So, I mean, some others popped in my head later. You know, The Who has some great ones, and I thought of a Rolling Stone one that's long and great, but this was the first one that popped in my head, so I was like, let's go with it. So
solid choice, man. That's a solid choice. And I mean, the impact that Mars Volta had was ridiculously big, obviously coming off the back of, you know, the furore that surrounded, you know, at the drive-in. I mean, just for me, I'd love to have said that I was on at the drive-in from the beginning. I wasn't. It was when I heard arguably one of the greatest ever intros, One Arm Scissor, I was like, holy shit. And then they played this show in the UK, just on TV, just playing that track. I'd never seen anything like it. I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm watching here. It's raucous. It's insane. It's prog. It's everything all just thrown in this pot of madness, and it looked so fucking cool as well. It was like, oh man, that band. I mean, I take it they were a big thing for you as well then.
Yeah, so what's funny is I often claim that I only have one regret in life, and so I live in Georgia, and the next state over is Alabama. I probably live, I don't know, 2 hours from Birmingham, Alabama, and a friend of mine owned a venue out there. And at the drive-in was playing, and they were opening up for Jimmy Eat World while Jimmy Eat World was on the Clarity album.
Oh, man.
My favorite album that they put out. And so I loved At the Drive-In, loved Jimmy Eat World, but I was like, 2 hours. I was like, nah. And I had no real reason to not go. I just was like, man, I'll just catch them next time. Well, obviously Jimmy Eat World blew up, At the Drive-In blew up and then broke up. And so that was one of my biggest regrets.
Hang your head, man. You should have gone, man.
Let me say this as a full circle before we move on. I'm friends with a band that got to open up for Jimmy World when they were doing, I don't know if it was, I guess, 10 year anniversary, whatever it was, of Clarity. So I got to go see them, and they played the Clarity album in its entirety. So I was like, yes, fulfilled there. And then I became friends with the management of At the Drive-In now, or, you know, when they got back together. And so I hit them up and was like, I got to go see them live. And so I got to see them like two or three different times live. So I feel like, you know, regrets are there, but, you know, I was able to at least, you know, sort of shade it in a bit.
Yeah, you can put that to rest now, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, for track two, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Yes. What song did I put on there?
Oh, let me just check.
Sorry, I should probably have this written down because...
That's okay. Where are we?
Sorry, it's gonna be some boring footage.
We can edit this bit out. Right.
I was going back and forth on a bunch of different ones, and so I'm not sure which.
Right, here we go.
Got it. Okay. Billy Joel.
Yes,
Billy Joel's Piano Man. I have it all up here now, so we won't have to do that again. Yeah, so the song with the first thing I can remember, there's surely stuff before this, but the one that really stands out, Billy Joel's Piano Man, my mom always listened to just, I don't know, I guess classic, like oldies station is what I guess it would be, and my dad always listened to like the rock stations, but like classic rock mostly. So I got a good healthy balance of all of the spectrums there. And I remember hearing Piano Man by Billy Joel. And it was one of the first times, at least that I can remember, that I was really, really picking apart all the lyrics and all the things he was saying. You know, I'd heard music my whole life because we had a kind of a musical family. Nobody performed anything, but they just loved music. And so we would, you know, celebrate it. But I remember hearing those lyrics and just being blown away. He talks about, you know, he's the piano man. He's there to kind of entertain. The owner of the bar loves when he comes because people come in and they can just forget about their problems for a while. And my favorite lyric of all time is from that song. Still to this day, it's the lyric. It goes, they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but that's better than drinking alone. And what a line that is. But that whole song, you know, I think Billy Joel's had some ups and downs, and there's plenty of things I'm not a big fan of, but that song is just, I mean, it still gets me today. I'll listen to it sometimes. A long time ago, I was listening to that song driving up in some snow, and we actually flipped our van. We were all safe and sound, but I remember that song was on. Wow. And our van started going sideways, and we hit the median just right, and it flipped, and you know, we were all safe and fine. It was more scary than anything, but that song's huge for me. It's a beautifully done song, and just the lyrics and stuff. Sometimes they can almost apply to anyone that's in any form of entertainment industry. But even back when I was a child and knew nothing of that stuff, it just was like, this is a good song. It's strong. So yeah, that's the first one I remember.
And what was the emotion?
I don't know if I can put it into words. I just remember being moved by it, because the guy in the song, even today, I can't tell if he's excited, if the piano man loves what he's doing and who cares, or if he's sort of wishing he was doing more. You know, the piano man, the character of the song, talks about this guy. I'm gonna, you know, paraphrase. This guy who's doing whatever, but he knows he could have been an actor if he would have tried or whatever. So he keeps saying things of that nature, and it's so funny because the personification of the fella, the character, I just can't tell if he's like, I'm creating happiness for people. I'm helping them escape a bit, which, you know, I don't necessarily believe in art as escapism, but I don't know if he's happy that he's like, oh yeah, I'm doing a good thing here, or if he himself is going, this is it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm playing for a bunch of drunks. Like, this is what my life's amounted to. You know, that, so there's, it's a, I can't tell if I'm in love with him or if I'm just so sad, you know, for him. And I think that can apply to a lot of musicians who are just sort of in a state where you're just kind of going like, you know, you always want to do the best you can or the most you can. So, yeah, I don't know. It just touched me. I can't, the undefinable is the best.
Yeah. That's what makes the magic happen, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, for track three, I'm going to ask you for the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
So there's plenty. There's so many that I could have listed. The one I marked down was a band called Portishead. The album's Dummy, and the song is called Glory Box. I don't know. I guess I would have been in high school. I reckon, but I really like Portishead and any bands that felt like that. I was just head over heels for. For anyone who may know, Portishead has these beautiful kind of orchestral movements, but then there's just like this hip hop beat, complete with a turntable, like old school turntable. You know, DJ kind of guy, but then also the person singing is beautiful. Like the vocals are beautiful and really, really. So it's all this sort of juxtaposition. It's this hard hip hop beat, but with these beautiful vocals that sound like they would be in some, you know, 1950s kind of, you know, musical or
Absolutely.
Something. But it's got an extra kind of creepiness to it. And there's sort of the vibe, and It was great. It's I don't remember when I first heard it, but I remember just running it into the ground. I think I bought a couple different versions of the same CD because either it'd get too scratched up or who knows, you know. But I remember, I mean, I still to this day I have vinyl of each of their albums, and they're on my heavy rotation. It's Portishead's, you know, probably one of my favorite bands as far as the just the it was something I had never heard before. Someone more schooled than me might go, oh, they were doing this way before them. I don't know. But for me, that was, it was brilliant. You know, it was very cleverly done. And again, for me, it was something I'd never heard before. And it's still, I don't know of anyone really having done that or still doing that or anything, you know, so it's a good, they rule for sure.
It's so weird. Like when Dummy come out, that record just changed the whole musical landscape in the UK, you know, speaking of the impact it had here, you know, there was other bands that come out of where they're from in Bristol that were making hip hop influenced music like Massive Attack.
Sure.
But when that dropped, and Glory Box being the lead single as well, and just hearing that lazy scratching, you know, and then beats, and it's right. I was trying to sort of think of a word to describe what you were sort of saying. It's like, it almost like it's quite claustrophobic, isn't it? It's like, and like Beth's voice is just, have you seen the live show from New York?
Yeah. So I was going to mention that. So on top of them creating something I had never heard before, when I saw and heard that, they took this, you know, hip hop turntable-y vibe and just made an actual orchestra. And what a phenomenally great sounding album, but also just that to invent yet again, to take, you know, cause I dabble with hip hop here and there. And so I know, I like a lot of that sort of stuff too, but to be able to translate any of that sort of musical stuff into such a grandiose thing, you know, and I remember just being blown away again. And then of course her voice just standing right on top of all of it, and just, I mean, oh, what a great album. That whole album front to back, I mean, the New York one, I mean, it's just brilliant.
It's ridiculous, man. It really is. And the, for me, that, like, it's the track Roads. On Rose, when she's
so good.
Just got her arm just slumped on the microphone, cigarette on the go, and but he's just howling, and it's just it's fantastic, man. Like that is what Bond themes should sound like. They should be writing the kind of current Bond themes, because it's so grand, yet it's just got such a rhythm as well. It's incredible, incredible.
So,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So how was school, man? How did you get on at school?
I did all right. I made good grades. My parents kind of had this sort of like rule of thumb. It's kind of an unspoken rule, but like I could do kind of whatever I wanted to do as long as I kept good grades. They sort of made sure that I knew like if I could keep good grades, then obviously I can handle other things in the world. And so they shouldn't worry, so to speak. So yeah, I made sure I did good grades. I skipped a lot of school, and I was already in a band at the time doing touring and stuff. And we did the sort of weekend warrior stuff, but even more so we would do, you know, cause where I'm from, Atlanta, Georgia, for anyone who may not know, I mean, you travel 3 hours in any direction, there's another major city. We got Florida just below us with all their cities. We got, you go out west, you can keep going all the way to Texas. Every 3 to 4 hours, there's another big city. And so we would do shows, you know, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then, you know, try to get home Monday. So I skipped a lot of school and I missed a lot. But again, my parents were cool about it. And they were just like, you know, as long as the grades are up, you're clearly do it. So, you know, it was, I did all right. I never thought of it as a drag or anything. It was just something to do.
Did you want to be a musician? Is that all you've ever wanted to be?
Yeah, that's all I can ever remember wanting to be. I went to my first show. I don't know what year it would have been, but my first concert that I ever, again, my parents had drug me to a few kind of all day festivals and stuff. I have no idea who even would have played those. I should probably look that up, because there are probably some pretty cool bands in those. But I was too young to care or remember. But anyway, the first show I paid for and I want to go see was Bush, Toadies, and Hum over here in Atlanta. And I have no idea what year that would have been, but that was it. I was done. I was like, this is what I want to do. And so I literally any money I made, I spent on going to concerts, but they were all these sort of arena rock shows, you know, because I didn't know anything else. And somehow, some way, throughout just going to as many shows, I didn't even have to like the band. I saw plenty of bands that are big that I wasn't, you know, it wasn't really my thing, but I just went. And eventually somehow that led to seeing smaller and smaller shows until I don't know the lineage, but eventually I ended up seeing just a small punk rock show, you know, something where it's like there's no barricade and it's just me and there's the band. And that was another twist for me, another sort of solidifying the like, whoa, you know, I don't know if I'll ever do that, the arena stuff, but I can do this. You know, I think I can like perform in front of, you know, 100 people, 150 people. So, and I realized there was local bands. There was this local band that no one's ever heard of for sure that opened one of those shows, and we got to be friends with them, and we saw them like literally every weekend. And, you know, so anyway, it was, you know, that transformed into just seeing these kind of littler punk rock bands that you could pay $5 and go see, you know. And so that's what I did. That's what we did to hang out. It's like, what are y'all doing this weekend? Like, oh, I'll go see if anyone cool's playing up here. And, you know, you drop $5, drop $8, drop $10, whatever. And if it's not that cool, it's like, well, we're still hanging out, you know, like that's what I did. And so that, you know, became sort of where I was and what I was doing and stuff. And so, yeah, in high school, you know, when I was doing the band, I mean, we would try to play just any show and every show, like no matter where it was, it could be like a, you know, a 7 hour drive for no money. We didn't think about, oh, we do need some money to make gas money. Just was like, yeah, we'll do it.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humor in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, They do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. With that, would you say you was a confident, like, kid?
That's a very interesting question. I would say, I don't know that I could use terms back then, but right now, I think I'm the same as I was then, in which I was not a confident person, but I practiced and I worked so that I could be confident, if that makes any sense.
Complete.
So I have no interest in being nervous. I have no interest in being unprepared. All of that's avoidable. You know what I mean? All you have to do is put the work in and put the time in. So, you know, some of my very close family and friends might tell you, you know, I'm a pretty unconfident person, but anyone outside that circle might tell you, oh, he's a very confident person. And that would be because of the fact that I put the work in, I practice, I, you know what I mean? I can't even remember the last time I had to give a speech, but if I ever have to give a speech, I'm not just going to show up and I'm going to practice it so much and do it so well in my own head that I can show up and wing it. You know what I mean? And so therefore I think, when I was a kid, it was very similar. You mentioned school earlier, that, you know, there's some things that I would just be like, meh, whatever, because I knew it was dumb and just kind of busy work. But then there's times where the really, really important stuff, you know, I was turning things in weeks in advance so that I didn't have to have the, like, oh, my dog ate my homework or my, you know what I mean? Like I was done already. So yeah, it's funny because I think naturally I'm one way, but I work and I put the due diligence in to make it to where I don't have to ever feel nervous or unprepared, you know.
For track four, I'm going to ask you for the first song you remember buying from a record store, please, Josh.
So what's funny is this harkens back to Portishead a bit. I showed up, so all my friends had CDs and albums and stuff. And so I had a cassette player and I would record whatever I liked. So I never hardly ever bought anything for a long, long, long time. I was well late into the game before I went to buy anything. And I went to our super cool CD store and I was going to buy Portishead. I can't remember which album now, and they didn't have it. So they told me, the guy there who was like way too cool for school was like, oh, if you like that, you'll love this. And he basically sold me a band called Tricky, the album Pre-Millennium Tension. And the song that I just picked for that was Piano. He was like, if you like that Portishead stuff, you'll probably like this. And I mean, he was just so cool. I was like, okay. And because they were out of Portishead anyway, I was like, I'll give it a try. And yeah, I fell in love. And that was one of the first purchases that I made with my own money. Again, super late in the game. I don't even know when that album came out, but I was fully into music well before then, but I just never purchased anything because I didn't have any money hardly. And B, I think I got a CD player like super late in the game, you know, showing my age a bit, but just, you know, as far as like having an actual CD player, like I didn't have one forever. I would just record songs from CDs I liked that my friends had or whatever on cassettes, and then I just had a mixtape of all the cool. It was a playlist, you know. So anyway, I was super late in the game of buying albums, but that was the first one I actually bought. I went in there to get one thing, and they didn't have it, and I was like, "Well, that sucks." Like, I come here to buy the thing, and they don't have it, you know. But I've been a big fan of Tricky ever since, and again, super weird, super just inventive, clever, hard beats, but sometimes very melodic, you know, strings and such to back it all up. I was thoroughly happy, and I went sometime later and bought the Portishead album. But
I mean, that's the thing. I said Portishead was claustrophobic, but if we're talking Tricky, I mean, that's a different level claustrophobic.
Yeah. It's so inventive and clever. Every album really just is doing something that is actually off the beaten path. You know what I mean? So much so that I'm just like, this is, it's a gutsy move. Sometimes I listen to it and I go, that's impressive. They full on went there, you know? I like that sort of stuff. As an artist, I love someone who's fully down to just, you know, not go up to the limit, but like leap over it and just see what happens. You know, that's brilliant for me to experience any band that's willing to do that, you know?
Absolutely. I watched a documentary about Kate Bush at the weekend, and Tricky was one of the people talking about.
Nice.
And I just thought to myself, of course Kate Bush is a big influence on Tricky. Of course, yeah. Another maverick that just has no rule book, just goes wherever it goes. And I just thought, of course Tricky's all over this. And I don't know if it's got a release in the States, but Tricky put a book out last year. I'd recommend that. That's a very, very fascinating read.
Wow. I will absolutely read that. If it was released last year, I'm so out of the loop of everything that happened last year.
Do you know what? It was probably the year before. You just forget last year even existed, don't you? Just don't count last year.
I feel like we should just, you know, call it a mulligan, you know, and just be like, I don't think that even happened, especially for touring musicians. Like, there's people that are like, you know, they'll put a year, they'll put like, oh, you know, this album's been out X amount of years. And I'm like, well, does last year count? I mean, really, we didn't play one show on it. As far as that, I'll definitely check that book out, because I would love to sort of be able to peek inside his brain. That'd be great.
I think in 20 years' time, you're never going to get them kind of really cool retro like band T-shirts with the 2020 tour on the back, are you? They're not ever going to exist, are they? If you do, they're going to be rare and worth a fortune.
That's a great idea, though. You know, 2020, have all these dates.
Cancel.
That's awesome. I might have to steal that one.
I'll do it. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you for track five, Josh, the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, please.
So this one was difficult because I feel like I'm still clubbing. So, there's this blues artist, Sunhouse, S-O-N, Sunhouse, and the song's Death Letter Blues. If not every single night before we play, most nights I play that song in my earphones or whatever. It's got the rawness of any very old blues artist that was just winging it, you know, just going for it. I don't know, there's an attitude about it, there's a sincerity about it, there's something about it that I like. There's some shows we play where I'm just like, this is it. Here we go. I can't get to it fast enough. And then there's some shows where, you know, you got things on your brain and you're having to go, okay, like we got to play a show, like, you know, turn all that off. Let's flip into show mode. And anytime it's like that, I play this song. It's on a playlist of songs that I play nearly every show before we go on. There's a few Rolling Stones songs in there. There's a few different things, but this song's in there. And so this song reminds me, of, you know, years clubbing, as it were, because, you know, we do a lot of support tours. For anyone who doesn't know, that means we play for the bigger band. We don't like to do a lot of headlining stuff if we can help it. And so we've done everything from the arena rock show, you know, to, you know, smaller, like, you know, 500 cap rooms or whatever. And we do everything in between, and we do it all the time. So anyway, this song, is in my playlist, and it just gets my mind right. It's lyrically, I don't even think it has anything to do with, you know, playing shows or anything. It's just raw and real. And, you know, sometimes, you know, especially in 2019 or 2020 or 2021, everything is so polished. Everything is so clean because we have Photoshop to make things perfect. We have Pro Tool, everything's perfect. And so this is like a reminder, if I need it, to go, hey, we're humans, just go out there and play. Like, let's get rowdy, you know? And so, that's why I put this song as that one, just cause I felt like it was it's still applicable to me today. And it still sometimes helps me just get in that like mindset of like, yeah, I'm just a dude strumming on a guitar, you know, and here we go. If people like it, that's awesome. If they don't, that's fine too. Like, this is what's about to happen, you know? So yeah, it's there. And I listen to it when we're on tour. I listen to it almost every day, if not every day. So
solid reason. Number six, please. A favorite song from an artist from your home county.
So, I picked Ray Charles for doing Georgia On My Mind because I don't know if he's from my exact county, but he's at least from Georgia, and that song is about Georgia, and it's a beautiful song. And honestly, I almost can't even say this right now because of how disconnected I am from this mindset. But when I'm on tour, and I've been on tour for like 3 months straight, I can't listen to this song because I'll start weeping. I'm just like, Georgia, you know, I love my home state, and I love, you know, Atlanta. It's a great place to have been born and raised. And so, yeah, this song's actually, you know, there's a moment in tours where this song has to get banned. To answer the question, I was like, well, you know, Ray Charles, I mean, he can do no wrong as far as music and as far as that song. I just felt like, well, that song's literally singing about my state. So yeah. I felt like it was a good pick, you know.
I don't think there's any reason to have to justify that choice, man. It's Ray Charles, yeah. And it's one of the most beautiful records ever made. So, yeah, rightly so, rightly so. Before we go on to your last track, I asked you earlier about confidence growing up, and you've, you know, from a very young age, knew that you wanted to be a musician, and you've, you know, managed to create a really good career for yourself in music. So confidence aside, would you say that you're driven?
Yes. Yeah. driven's an interesting word. My parents instilled in me a very strong work ethic. I think we were talking earlier about during the quarantine stuff, you know, it's like, I can't sit still. I can't, you know, it's very unhealthy, both mentally, and physically for me to sit still for too long. And so I would say I'm very driven as far as, there's so many things we can't help in life. There's so many things out of our control, so many things, but I think life is best served when you try to not have that as your perspective, and the perspective being the things you can control. And I think there's so much more that people can control if they have the work ethic and if they have the motivation and the ability to do it. And anyone who struggled, not anyone, but a lot of people who have struggled with keeping their weight down knows that it's just like, there's no magic to it. You just eat better and exercise more. You know, it's really so simple, but you know, mentally we can just get it real foggy and just be like, well, I don't know. And you know, there are rare occasion circumstances, but for the most part, for most of people, it's that. It's literally just the physical work ethic of it. And I think when, I don't know why that example popped in my head, but with music and with with, you know, playing and you know, trying to, you know, because bands have a very short shelf life typically, you know. I mean, we've talked about a lot of bands that have had a very long shelf life, but those are still they're very much the exception to the rule. For every band you mentioned that's lasted longer than 10 years, I could probably list 100 that you've never heard of, you know. And so therefore, I think I try my best to live in a way that has zero regrets. The one regret being my At the Drive-In show, but that was a lesson learned, you know? And so the reason I mentioned that is because I think that for me, teach his own, but for me, the easiest way to try and have zero regrets is to put the effort in, to be driven, to be motivated, to get up earlier and to go to sleep later, you know, do it. And then if it does not work, whatever the thing is, when you're old and looking back on your life, you really don't have any reason to have a regret because you go, hey, I did everything I could and it just didn't work. You know what I mean? There are some things out of our control. And so as far as being a musician and from a very young age, I wanted to be a musician. And I'm very, very thankful that I've been able to remain on the train this long. But the day that the train kicks me off, I will never look back and regret because I'll go, hey, A, I was able to ride it for that long, whatever that looks like. B, the day I get kicked off, it won't be because of lack of trying, you know, it'll be because I wrote an album that no one likes or whatever, which is also fine. But the work was there and I did everything I could. And so the moment I have to hang my hat up, I'll do it gladly and go, well, that's, you know, that, I still have no regrets. There's nothing I could have done differently that, you know, was within my power. So anyway, you know, sorry for the long ramble there, but I think I might
agree more. I couldn't agree more.
I think I might be driven, you know?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Well, Josh, it's your last track, and I'm going to ask you to play DJ now, and you can recommend. And I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
So there's this band called Starflyer 59. They've been around a long time, and lots of people might know them. They're from the States, and they have an enormous catalog under their belt. They've been around for a long, long time. But every album they've ever put out, and back in the 90s, it was very 90s sounding. And then they sort of changed from there. But every evolution of the band has been something that I've loved. And I think there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of creativity. I don't want to take any of that away from them with what I'm about to say, but I think the end results are just, here's good songs. I think everything they've ever put out, and it's mainly just one guy, but I think everything he's put out in this gigantic catalog, it's just like, is the chorus great? Yeah. Is the verse great? Yeah. Does it have a swinging bridge? Yeah. Like, it's just a core good song.
Yeah.
And then they may throw some embellishes here and there that you know are really unique and stuff, and depending on which album or which song you listen to. But so anyway, Starflyer 59 is one of my long time greatest bands of all time. There's plenty of bands that have come and gone, but this band has never really Jason, if you're listening to this, I apologize if this offends you, but I don't think he's ever blew up. He's never been just internationally this gigantic star. But he keeps writing albums that I think are just amazing. So, the band is Starflyer 59. I could have picked any number of songs from any number of albums, but there's an album called Old, and there's a song called Underneath. And, I think that's a good, nutshell of what I'm talking about. It's like the song's just a great song, and then there's just a couple of little things here and there that sort of put cherries on top of a really good ice cream, you know. But yeah, I would highly recommend anyone. I mean, in my humble opinion, you can pick any album and just listen to it all the way through, and you'll pick out the stuff you like and don't like. But if you go back to the 90s stuff, I mean, there's like 12 guitar tracks, you know, feeding back. And I mean, it's very 90s, but it's in the best way possible in my opinion. So,
well, Josh, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast with all your choices on, so people can go and explore all of the bands that we spoke about today. As 2021 unravels further and, you know, in a more positive way, hopefully, and, you know, in the UK, it's looking like shows are going to start happening again, you know, towards the latter part of the year. And I hope that that is something that happens globally. Yeah. Josh, what are you looking forward to personally this year, and what's happening professionally?
Honestly, they're the same thing. Just live shows.
Every single musician starts that answer with that. It's both the same.
It's hard to escape it. I'm going to say, just me, myself, playing live show. I mean, that is why when I first decided to be in a band, I pretended to play live shows. I air guitared to a fake crowd. I didn't pretend to write an album. I didn't pretend to sign contracts. I didn't pretend to shake hands with it. I was pretending to play live, you know? And so for someone who's been able to do that for my entire adult life, to have that, you know, yanked away was pretty hard, but it was hard for everyone, you know. But so that's first and foremost the thing that I cannot wait to do is play live. But I will take it a step further, and I think that it's hard to pretend anything good came of this whole, you know, craziness. But if I were to point something out that might have, you know, at the risk of sounding over optimistic, I think, you know, the pendulum has been pulled so far in one direction, the direction of quarantine and isolation, and I'm all by myself and you're all by yourself, that when it finally does get let go, I would love to think that humanity, it'll swing so hard in the other way, and that humanity will kind of, we all realize we need other humans. We need each other. We need to all be dancing on that same vibration. We need, and there's no better place than a live show, a rock show, to really see that in a tangible form, because here's hundreds to thousands to whatever amount of people all on the same vibration. We're singing the same lyric. We're sweating. We're getting together. It's real. It's tangible. It's legit. And to have that, to have that taken away, as bummer as that is, I think people, even the most introverts, you know, are maybe going, oh man, it'll just be nice to just mix and mingle and have that energy shared amongst people, whether it's four people going out to eat dinner together again, or it's a whole host of people at a show. I think humanity needs it. And I think for now, I don't know how long it'll last, but for now, I think most humans would agree, and they would go, yeah, I do just kind of want to mix and mingle with a bunch of people. I don't know. That would be nice, you know? So, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's going to make for a healthier, planet, you know what I mean? When people can get back to, you know, whatever, going to see